Right. Yeah, I picked that theme song because I'm going to talk about truth this morning. Just kind of give you a little rundown. This message is a challenge for me because it's very different than who I and what I've preached for years and what I usually normally preach. My sermons and my heart is for us to be like Christ. That's my goal. My goal is I want to be like Jesus. Anybody want to be like Jesus? You know, I want to be like Jesus. The love, the compassion, the heart, the attitude, the characteristics of Jesus. That's who I want to be like. So most of my sermons, 99% of my messages that I share with you, are really how to be like Jesus and why be like Jesus. But this series of messages is going to be quite different. This series of messages that we're going to look at starting this morning is going to be more like the what. What do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about God? What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe? This is going to be quite a change for me because I'm going to get into the what. You know, why should I believe? I'm not going to be arguing, and you need to know I'm not going to set out this morning as we start this series of messages to prove that Christianity is true. You need to know. I'm going to assume you already know that. All right? We're going to kind of see why, but I'm going to assume you already know and understand why we're true. I'm going to say some things this morning that might make you uncomfortable. They might make you a little uneasy. I am not going to be politically correct. As I wrap up this morning, I will not be politically correct, all right? You just need to know that right now. I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm just going to lay out some of the beliefs that we have as Christians and some of the beliefs that we have and that I have and that I want to share with you. This is what we are. This is the foundation. That's why you see pillars in our graphics and all those kind of graphics. Is this is the foundation of who we are and what we believe. So I'm going to ask you to get your outline out this morning. And we're just going to kind of get into what it is we believe, why we believe, and what we're going to do about what we believe as we look at God's Word. So I want to encourage you to get your outline out. And let's see what He has to say. I'm going to begin with God. Because where else do you start when you talk about Christianity is you start with God. Last year, about May, I did a series called Try God or God to the Third Power. And I kind of talked about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and a little bit about Trinity. Well, when I start this series, I got to kind of go back to that series of messages. And I'm not going to deal each one individually. I'm just going to concentrate on the Trinity this morning. Probably the most confusing teaching the church has, the most complex doctrine that we have, that we try all sorts of ways to explain, all sorts of ways to illustrate, and all of them fail. But you're going to see why as we go into it this morning. So get your outline out and follow along. I'm going to begin with a statement in your outline right here, right off the bat. God is one. I don't have the scripture to throw up here for you, but here's a definition as we begin. Trinity. There is one and only one living God, living and true God. He is intelligent, spiritual, and personal being. The Father sends the Son reveals the Father, and the Holy Spirit enables men to apprehend the Father as revealed in the Son. That's the definition of the Trinity. Gives you a picture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they are persons. And we're going to get into all of that, and you're going to have a really complex, and it is a difficult doctrine, so don't worry if you don't understand it. I have studied this many times and still struggle with how to explain it and how to understand. But we always have confusing things. Does anybody here understand calculus really well? How about that little statement? Anybody see this little phrase? E equals MC squared. Anybody know what that is? I got a paper and I read all about it and I couldn't understand. It's energy equals mass. I couldn't go on besides that. We have complex things in life. We have things that confuse us all the time. So don't think that, well, my religion is never going to be confusing. I'm going to tell you, sometimes God confuses me. All right? It's hard to understand God. Why he does certain things, how he does. And we're going to look at the Trinity. It is going to be confusing. How can one God be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but that sounds like three to me. How does it all work? The reality is God is one. Write this verse down. It's not in your words. I wanted you to write this verse down. Deuteronomy 6:4. Write that down. Deuteronomy 6:4. It's like the fifth book. Is it the fifth? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers? Yeah. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. Turn to the sixth chapter in the fifth book of the Bible, verse 4. Look, 5, 6, 4. There you go. And look at that verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. We have one God who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is one. Look at this first verse here. Let's look at this first verse. God is one, yet for us there is but one God. God what? God the Father. Circle the Father. From whom all things come and from whom all and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. There is one God and his name is Father. We have God the Father. He is God. Period. He is God. But Jesus Christ is God. Look at this next verse. We know also that the Son of God, who's the Son of God? Jesus, all right, has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Who's the true God? Jesus Christ. So now we have two gods. We got God the Father and God the Son. Doesn't it sound like two gods to you? And yet we have one God. The Bible says there's one, and now we have two. And we see this teaching in the Scripture over and over again. You can see Jesus called God. Jesus got in trouble. That's why the Jews wanted to kill. You want to do an interesting study. Why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? Because he had a big following? No. Because he claimed to be God. Is that what they said? You claim to be God. You know how he claimed to be God? Anybody know God's name? Comes from Exodus and Moses. God appears to Exodus and Moses in a burning bush. The bush wasn't consumed. Moses says, "What's your name? Who sent me?" And God says, "I am who I am. My name is I am. There is nothing else. My name's I am." Jesus comes along in the Gospel of John, and guess who Jesus says I am? Jesus says seven times, "I am the bread of life. I am. I am. I am." Seven times. That just ticked the Jews off. "You're claiming to be God. Why do you want to kill me?" Jesus says. They go, "Because you're claiming to be God." Jesus is God. E equals MC squared, all right? We don't understand. It's complex. I don't get it, but it's true. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. But there's one God. And we're not done yet. There's a third one to this, all right? Look at the third one here. "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Who's the great God? Jesus Christ. Let's go on. I forgot I had two verses for that one. Then Peter said, okay, here, let me set this verse in context. They're taking an offering at church. Can you believe they're taking offerings even in the Bible times? It's not the church's idea to take offering. It's God's idea. So they're taking an offering in church, and this guy and his wife had sold everything. And they're going to bring an offering. And they wasn't told how much to bring. They didn't have a dictation. Bring it all. Bring part. Bring whatever you want is what they were told. Well, they bring a portion of their offering to give their offering. And they're asked, "Is that all?" Instead of saying, "No, it's just a part of it, it's what we're going to give," they lied. And this is who they said they lied to. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it belong to you before you sold it? He's saying, listen, it was yours. It's still yours. Why are you lying? Then he goes on. And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He lied to the Holy Spirit. He lied to God. Do you see how confusing this is? Have I confused you yet? Have I muddied the water? Anybody ever walk in a creek and you look at you can see right through it, and as soon as you step in, it gets all muddy because you're kicking up the mud? Anybody ever see that? Am I kicking up enough mud for you yet? Yeah. We have one God, but he's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God. How does this work? And like I said, we have all sorts of illustrations. I'm going to talk more about that as we get through here. One God, but we call him, we have God the Father as a person. We call God the Holy Spirit a person. We call God the Father a person. And when I say the word person, most of us, at least if you're like me, when I hear the word person, I think of an individual. You know, my mind, when I hear person, it's like, okay, what person? Individually. When we talk about God being a person, that each of these is a person, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a person, we're talking about their character. Okay? Excuse me. We're talking about their character. A person feels. A person loves. A person acts. See, a person moves. And so when we're talking about God as a person, that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit fills. Talks about grieving the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Jesus loves. He's a person. They're persons. And yet they're one. It is one God, one person, and yet three ways that we look at them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each individual. And yet each is all powerful, all knowing, all present. He's eternal. They're not something that was created. We're going to get into this. God did not create Jesus, all right? God did not create the Spirit. They have always been there. It is one. It is God, all-knowing, all-powerful, and omniscient, and all-present. And we need to see that as we think about God. This is one of the deep beliefs. You need to understand there's a lot of confusion and a lot of false teaching, and I'm going to show you where it's at as we go through this morning. And this is why we call it the Trinity. It's called the Trinity because it is confusing. I'll give you a challenge. Go home. Anybody got a computer Bible besides me? Anybody got computer Bibles? Go home and type in the word Trinity and search your Bible for it. It's not there. Trinity is a word that was first used by a guy named Tertullian. He lived from 155 to 220. And he's the first one to create it because this is a teaching that the church wrestled with for many years. And so if you look at your outline, this is what I want you to look at as you look at your outline. It's real as this. God is three in one. That's the Trinity. One God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They both have eternally existed. They are all knowing, all powerful, and all present. They feel, they love, they act, they move, they're involved. It's one God who is three. I don't know how else to explain it, but he's one God in three. And I want us to think about how that works, because it's been true from the beginning. It starts in Genesis, and it starts there, and you see the Trinity right off the bat. Look at that very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Who was there in the beginning? God the Father, the Creator. God the Spirit hovering over. And God the Son. You see God the Son in there? Anybody? He's there. I'll tell you how. It really confused you. See the name God? The name God is, I'm going to give you a nice Hebrew word, Elohim. Don't you like that? Elohim. Elohim is a name for God in the book of Genesis, one of the names that God goes by in the book of Genesis that they've given God, as Moses wrote. And the word Elohim is plural. In the beginning, gods is what that says. But here's the trick. The verb is singular. Now, I don't think Moses was a poor grammarian or spelled like Gary, all right? I think Moses was writing what God laid on his heart. There are God's is exactly what this says. God's was. Look at the next verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image. It's again, plural and a singular. What he's trying to say is, there's this God out here who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He is this pluralistic God who is one. Excuse me. There is one God, and yet he is manifested in three ways, all at the same time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Now you understand, right? Elohim, plural, verbs, singular. Anybody here good at English besides me? Saw and seen and all those words. Yeah. That's what he's sitting here saying. He says, let us make man in our image. He goes, I'm going to create this, and I'm plural, but I'm singular. I don't know how else to explain the Trinity. It's always been there. It was there at creation, and it's been existing from the day God created the world. It's God. He's one, and yet he is the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Spirit. You see it at his baptism. Here's a picture of it. Look at his baptism. This is when Jesus was baptized. In the beginning, here's this one with Jesus. I keep getting ahead of myself. I got a lot of scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Anybody know who the Word is? The Word is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God, and he was with God in the beginning. That's exactly what that says. Jesus is always there. Again, I'm setting this up for you because I'm going to tell you in a little while, you know there are some people out there that believe Jesus was created. That Jesus was just another one of God's creations. That he's not God. There's out there that they teach that Jesus was a created being. And he's not. He was there. He was not created by God. He has always existed. And you see this. You see the Trinity in the baptism. Look at the baptism of Jesus. As soon as Jesus is baptized, okay, who's getting baptized? Jesus getting baptized, all right. And Jesus is God. All right, you guys got it. He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now, who's coming down? The Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is God, and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son. Who's the voice from heaven? God the Father, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Do you see the Trinity there? One God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's just one, and yet he's three. I don't understand. I don't get it. But he's God. Matter of fact, it doesn't stop there. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, anybody familiar with the Great Commission? Look what the Great Commission says and see the Trinity in the Great Commission. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father and of God the Son and of God the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you see the Trinity again? It's one God, and yet he's in three forms, in three ways, in three things that we see as we look at God. But this has been a debate for the church from the very beginning. You can go all the way back to the first century. And you can look at church history, and you can read church history. I'm going to encourage you, want to do something fun, do some Googling on your internet. Go home and Google the deity of Christ. Go home and Google this. Go home and Google the Nicene Creed. Don't you like that word? The Nicene Creed. Because see, the church had some meetings. Anybody remember church history a little bit? Anybody read the book of Acts? Anybody read the book of Acts lately? The book of Acts is about all the churches that Paul started. Paul went around starting all these churches, and these churches were springing up. And now they're trying to wrestle with, what do we believe about God? What do we believe who God is and how God works and what God does? What do we believe about God? So they start having a meeting. And they have a meeting in Nicaea. And in this meeting in Nicaea, they're debating about the deity of Christ. Is Jesus really God? And they wrote this little creed, just a little statement about, I think it's about five sentences. And basically their conclusion is, Jesus is God. This is in the first 300 years. Tertullian's the first one. He became a Christian in about 200, right around 200. He's the first one to write the word Trinity as he's trying to explain God in three. And he writes it. And so this church gets together, all these leaders of the church get together, and they say, we believe that Jesus is God. Down the road, they have another meeting. I don't know what this, I'm trying to remember what the name of this one was. If you do Nicene Creed, you'll find all these other ones. They had another meeting a few years later, and they're debating, now, what about the Holy Spirit? And they're trying to wrestle with the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and what his work was. And they write down a little statement about the Holy Spirit. A few years later, again, they come back to that debate. And I'm going to get to this debate again. Is Jesus fully God? How can someone be fully God and fully man? How do you get 200%? It just doesn't work. But with God, it all works. It's confusing. Have I confused you yet? Have I lost you yet? I see some blank stares out there. Yeah. It's God. And so they wrestle with this throughout history, and they try to debate who God is and how does this work. And here's the problem. I'm going to tell you what the problem rests. The problem doesn't rest with God. It rests with us. All right? See, the problem of trying to understand the Trinity isn't God. It's how we try to explain it. See, I got news for you. You're not as smart as you think you are. All right? I'm sorry to tell you that. You're not as bright as you think you are, okay? You know, I'm going to tell you in a little while, you know, well, I'll get there in a minute. Let's just keep going with this point. Yeah. We are finite beings. We don't understand everything. You don't even understand E equals MC squared, and yet you believe it. Why don't you believe when we say God is three in one? It's like, well, I can't believe that. Well, I believe it. E equals MC squared. Well, they told me that at school. Well, some crazy preacher told me God's three in one. I don't believe him. Well, believe the Bible. Don't believe me. History has debated this. And there's some, let me tell you what, here's some heresy. Heresy means bad teaching, okay? Heresy means lies, all right? Let me tell you some of the lies that are out there. One of the lies is called modalism. Anybody know what a mode is? Not a moat, a mode. It's kind of stages. Here's what some people believe. Some people believe that God the Father created the earth, and through all the Old Testament, we have God the Father. And then when Jesus was born, we get God the Son. And now we have God the Son. God the Father's gone now, because now we got God the Son. And now we have God the Son, and now he died on a cross, rose from the grave, and ascended to heaven, so he's gone. Now we got God the Holy Spirit. God took three different modes. They don't all exist at the same time. There's no simultaneous thing going on here. There was just different stages. There was God the Father for a while. Then there was God the Son for a while. And then there was God the Holy Spirit that we have today. They all didn't exist at one time. It was just some modes that life and that God went through. This is taught by church today. All right? The United Pentecostals. It's called the oneness. That's what they teach. All right? That's a lie. There is one God. He's always existed. He was there at the baptism. He was there at creation. He was there when Jesus ascended. He's always there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So another teaching heresy came up. Another false teaching came up called Arianism. All right, don't you like that? It's named after a guy named Arian. And this teaching is real simple. My mind is already... You ever had that time when your mind just forgets something? And I'm trying to remember what Arianism is, and it's going to take me a minute to remember what Arianism was. I had my notes, and I can't believe I forgot. Let me look real quick. Okay. That Jesus isn't God. That Jesus was just a created being. That Jesus was just one of these things, that he wasn't fully God, that he was created by God. He is the epitome of creation. He's like an angel that became and succeeded and became a great person, became a great prophet, and now this is who he is. He is God's son. He was created by God. That's Arianism. And there's a church that teaches that. You want to know what that is? Anybody want to know? The Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. They believe God, that Jesus was a good man, that he was a good prophet, and that he was created by God, and that's it. He's not fully God. And that's what they believe. Again, a false teaching. There's one more I want to tell, and it's tritheism. Tri means three. Theo means God, three gods. What they believe is, yes, there are three, but they are three separate and distinct gods. There's God the Father, and he's a God. There's God the Son, and he's a God. There's God the Spirit, and he's a God. They're all separate, distinct. Nothing ties them together. They are not three in one. There are three different gods. You know who teaches that? The Mormons. That's what the Mormons teach. All right? This doctrine is something that we wrestle with. You need to understand, people will twist this around. You need to know what you believe when you hear the word Trinity. Not that you understand it. Not that you can answer all the questions. I've sat and had study with people of other faiths, and one of the questions we always come up with is the Trinity. And here I go through all the scriptures that show the Trinity. I'm just giving you a portion of them. This is just a small portion of all the scriptures about the Trinity and God's Word and how Jesus was God and the Spirit is God and how it all ties together. And we try to explain things. We take an egg and say, the Trinity's like an egg. Anybody ever hear that explanation? The Trinity's like an egg. You got the white, you got the eggshell, you got the white, you got the yolk. That's tritheism. Because it's three. You got three separate and distinct things. God is one. When you have God the Father, everything God the Father is God the Son. Everything God the Son is, everything God the Spirit is. They're all the same. You can't, you know, I've heard apple, you know, the peeling of an apple and the meat of an apple and the core of an apple. I've heard all sorts of explanations. I'm going to tell you, we just can't comprehend it. Your mind is not that good. You're kind of mindless, okay? We just don't get it. God is smarter than we are. Can you believe that God's smarter than you? We just don't understand. But we get these false teachings out there. You need to be aware of this. And it's true. Because I want to tell you something, just so you get a picture. I'm not going to be political. I'm going to tell you the truth. There is but one God. There can only be one God by definition of God. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Now, there could be gods who are all-knowing and all-present. But I'm going to tell you what, there cannot be more than one all-powerful God. Because if there's two of them, then they're not all-powerful, they're equal powerful. To me, if they're going to be a God, it has to be all-powerful. Anything short of that is not God. For me, when I see a little G in sentences that says gods, they don't exist. There can't be. Either you are God or you're not. There's nothing in between. There's all sorts. You read the Old Testament, there's all sorts of false gods out there, and they were powerful. Anybody familiar with the story of Moses and the 10 plagues? Anybody remember that story? You know, turning the water to blood and the flies and the frogs and all the stuff that went on. You know, when he first turned the water to blood, guess what they had? They had sorcerers who worshiped false gods who did the same thing. Just read the story. I want to tell you what they are. They're demons. I believe demons have power, okay? I believe demons are... Anybody believe in angels? Raise your hand if you believe in angels. Come on. All right. Anybody believe in demons? Raise your hand if you believe in demons. All right, I'm glad. If you believe in angels, you better believe in demons. They're real. I believe false gods out there, you read the Bible, there's Baal, there's Moloch, there's all sorts, Balaam, there's all sorts of false gods out there. You read the Bible, you can see them. They are false gods. They are demons. Now, I'm going to really go out on a limb today, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Allah is a demon. Okay? He is not a god. He's not a false god. He's either you're God or you claim to be God. And if you claim to be God and you're not, you're a demon. Am I right? You know, we need to understand there is one God and only one God. I don't understand how he's three in one. My finite mind doesn't get it. I don't comprehend it, but I trust God. Anything less than God is evil. And we need to see that. And so you need to listen to the teachings that these guys give. And I think it's sad that some people go to churches and go to different things that they enjoy, and they don't even know what they teach. You know the reason I like being a Christian? Is I'm telling you what the Bible says, and it's your choice to believe it or not. It's up to you. I'm not telling you what you have to believe. I'm telling you this is what the Bible says. Now, you got to make a decision. See, a cult tells you what you got to believe. I'm not telling you what you got to believe. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's up to you what you want to do with it. There is one God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is only one God, and you got to decide what you're going to do with him. These people out there go to these other places. They don't even know what they teach. They just like the feeling they get. They like the ministries they do. It's all our family's always done. And it's tragic that they don't know what they teach. You need to know what this church teaches. I have no problem answering any question you have me about what this church teaches. We have 8 essentials we talk about in our church. Just essential things, and this is one of them. And we got to understand it. But what does all this mean? You know, like I said, my heart, when I preach and I share with you, is I want you to have a good life. I want you to have John 10:10 is a key verse for me. John 10:10 has this to say. Jesus says, I have come to give you life, but not just any kind of life. I'm paraphrasing. This is my paraphrase. You can look it up. To give you an abundant life, a wonderful life, a fulfilling life. John 10:10. That's what I want people to have. That comes through Jesus. And that's most of my sermons is, how do you get there? How do you experience that? How do I experience a wonderful life in a very evil-filled world that beats you up all the time? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, how do I experience that joy of God when this world keeps pushing you down? That's what most of my sermons are. So this morning, I kind of want to bring it back. What does all this mean? What does all this Trinity mean? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. What does it mean? That God is three in one. That God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That the work of one is the work of all. That the work of all is the work of one. They're all the same. He's eternal. Each one is omniscient, omnipotent, and all-powerful. All-knowing, all-present. He is God. He loves, he cares, he ministers to us. What does all this mean? I got like 6 things, 7, how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things. Here's what it means. The Trinitarian life is humble. You know what? I think we have a problem. We are the epitome of God's creation. Am I right? We are the top of the food chain. We are the opinion, and we glory in that. We are smart. We can make decisions. We are not an animal. They think we're animals. I am not an animal, all right? I live above the animals, all right? I am the epitome of God's creation. But what the Trinity helps me understand is, you know what? I'm not as smart as I think I am. Maybe I'm a little too big for my britches. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to understand that we are not as big as we think we are. That's what the Trinity tells me. You know what I learned going to school all the time? Going and getting my master's and then going and getting my doctorate and going to school. Here's what I realized. The more I went to school, the more I didn't know. I'm serious. The more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know. See, I look at this as an upside-down pyramid. That when I'm down here, when I was a kid, you know what? When I was a teenager, I got news for you. I knew everything. Anybody else there when you were a teenager besides me? When I was a teenager, I knew everything. You know, I was down here at the bottom of that pyramid, man. I knew everything. But as I went through school, I kept going up that pyramid, and my knowledge kept going like this, but there's this big old thing over here that I don't know. See, the Trinity is humbling for me. It lets me know, Gary, you are a finite being, man. You think you're smart. I got news for you. Try to understand this. Oh, yeah, God, yeah. I don't get it. But you know what? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to accept it. See, it's humbling. The life in God is humbling because, wait a minute, man. You know, I think I'm bigger than I am. I think I'm worth something. I think I'm good. I'm Gary. Wait, I'm Gary the Great, man. Yeah. But then I set myself next to God and I realize, man, God, I'm thankful you're God and I'm not. I don't know about you, but I am glad God's God and I'm not. Some of you are going, I'm glad God's God and you're not too. You know? See, it's humbling. The Trinitarian life is loving. For God so loved the world, he sent his Son. The Spirit comes so that we can understand God and the loving God that he is. See, the life in God and the life of that Trinity is about love. It's about care. It's about compassion. Jesus wept. The Spirit is quenched. It's about love. And what it tells us is we need to love. And it kind of summarized what that great teaching. What's the two greatest commandments? Love God and love one another. See, that's what it tells us, and that's what the Trinity tells us, that it's a bundle of love, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it challenges us to be that loving person that God wants us to be. The Trinitarian life is worshipful. I don't know about you, but when I step back and I look at who God is, I sit in awe. It's amazing. I mean, look at what God made. Look how God created. Look how God sustains life. I always laugh. You know, we were talking about it this Wednesday. People go, oh, we got global warming and we got this and we got all this. When the world ends, we see all this kind of stuff. Who do we think we are that we can destroy God's world? I mean, come on. It's God's. I'll give you a guarantee. This world will not end until God decides it ends, okay? We can do all sorts of crazy things. Now, we need to be good stewards. I need to be responsible. I need to be, you know, all that stuff needs to be true. But I'm going to tell you what, this is God's world, and I need to stand in awe of who God is. And I need to worship him. I need to sing. I need to praise. I need to honor. I need to do that with God. See, that's what the Trinity tells me. It's like, man, there's this God out here, this God that is bigger than me. I can't understand this complex, confusing God out here that deserves honor, respect, and worship. That's what the Trinity tells me. It's humbling, it's loving, it's worshipful, it's relational. See, it's about a relationship. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's a relationship. You know, have you ever heard that God created us because he was lonely? That's a lie. He had his Son, and he wasn't lonely. He didn't need anything. It's out of his grace and his mercy and his love that he created us. And he's a relational God. And I'm going to tell you what, we are relational. How do they punish prisoners in jail? They put them in solitary confinement. That's punishment. We are relational. Bible even tells us it is not good for man to be alone. And some of you women know that's true. It's not good for man to be alone. We're going to say mankind, not just guys, okay? Yeah. It's not good. We are relational. Just like the Spirit and the Trinity is all about a relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We are relational. It teaches me that it's about a relationship. That we need one another, that we enjoy one another, that we appreciate one another. And the next one to me really ties it together because it talks about unified and diverse. We're relational, and we're unified and diverse. We're not all the same. We're different. God the Father, although they're all the same characteristics, they're all the same attributes, they were different. We're all the same, but we're different. We have different likes and different dislikes. Some of you like eating at Olive Garden, and it's okay. It's not good, but it's okay. I like Chevys, okay? Let's go to Chevys, all right. We have different tastes. We have different likes. We're diverse, and yet we're all unified. Yeah. Everybody here likes to eat, right? We can all agree on eating. We just can't agree on where we're going to go eat. Anybody ever argue about that in your families? Let's go eat. Nobody knows where they want to go eat. I hate that one. Yeah. We're all hungry, but I don't know where I want to go. Neither do I. Well, you pick. No, you pick. Come on. We're the same, and yet we're different. That's what the Trinity teaches us. The next one is, it's submissive. We need to be submissive. Jesus was submissive to God. The Father sent the Son. Jesus died on the cross. He was submissive to the Father's plan. He prayed in the garden. Remember the prayer in the garden? Not my will, but your will be done. He was submissive. What the Trinity teaches us is we need to be submissive. Submissive to God, submissive to one another. And we need to see that in our lives, in that submissiveness. And finally, I put the word joyful. When Jesus was baptized, God said these words, the Spirit comes, God sends the Spirit, and the Spirit descends, and Jesus is baptized, raised out of the water. And God says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm rejoicing. There's joy. And we need to see the joy of the Lord. There is joy in God's salvation. That's scripture too, guys. There's joy. I'm enjoying life. Is life always easy? Is life always pleasant? Does life always go right? No. Does life beat you up? Does life push you down? Does life have issues? Does Gary have issues? Yes. But you know what? There's God. There's always God, a God who is a Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, who loves me by grace, by mercy, reached down and touched me and wants to walk with me through this world and all that I go through. See, and I just got to walk with joy with God. Do you see? To me, that's what it means. And so as I looked at this doctrine, I wanted you to see it. There is one God. There is one God in three. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. History has wrestled with it, and there's heresy out there today. You don't have to look through history to see people teach false doctrine on God. And you need to know the God that you worship. I challenge you to go home and read your Bible. Read the stories. Read Deuteronomy. Read Genesis. Read the Gospel of John. Then read on and see God. And see this triune God who loves you and cares for you, and it's his grace and his mercy. I like the way Paul wraps it all up as he concludes one of his letters to the Corinthian church. Look at this verse here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I love that. He's saying, may you experience the Trinity. May you experience the God who is this Trinity God, who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. May you know that grace and that mercy that God has for you. Can you have that fellowship with him because of who God is? See, and that's my desire this morning. Who is God for you? I might be confusing, and you might not understand, and I don't get all the stuff either, and I've been at this for a long time. I went through college, and I studied it in college. Had a Christian college. Dr. Hyatt and some of my other, Dr. Jenkins and some of my other teachers down there, I went through these classes and studied this. I went on to Golden Gate Seminary, had professors like Dr. Harrop and Dr. Akins and some other professors up there, and I studied all this. And you want to know what? I still don't understand it. Because God is bigger than me. I might think Gary knows a whole lot, and sometimes I do know a whole lot. Just ask me, I'll tell you. All right? But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, I'm just a creation of God's love. And it's by his mercy and his grace that I get to be his child. And I get to walk through this world with him. And that's what I want you to know this morning. Don't get caught up in these debates. Realize there's these false teachings out there. Don't let somebody lead you astray. Just go by God's word. I'll have a study with anybody. You can bring anything you want, but you can only get one book to study. That's the Bible. That's all. Whatever the Bible says, that settles it for me. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Whatever the Bible says, it's settled. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what the Bible says. And it's done. So at the bottom of the page, I wrote these words right here. Real plain, real simple. I believe in one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's it. Do you believe? Do you walk in that grace and mercy? Do you walk by faith? I pray you do. Let's pray.